Good morning.
Good morning.
Portland City Council will come to order. Today is Wednesday, March 24th, 2010. We're in morning session. There will only be the morning session today. Good morning, Carla. How are you?
I'm fine. Good morning.
Happy spring.
Thank you.
Can you please call the roll?
Fritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman. Leonard. Adams.
Quorum is present. Let's begin with communications. Can you please read the title for item number 386?
Request of Randy Toole to address council regarding activism and social justice.
Mr. Toole, please come forward. You just need to give us your first and last name. Have a seat. And that clock right in front of you will help you count down 3 minutes. We're glad you're here.
Thank you. My name is Randy Toole. Members of the City Council, thank you for allowing me to speak before you. The purpose I'm here today is to ask for your help. I live in subsidized housing managed by Central City Concern. The payee for my rent is Housing Authority of Portland. Central City Concern provides the property. The Housing Authority of Portland helps me with my rent, and I am the client. The living conditions of this building I reside in are appalling. I have had rodents. The walls are cracking. The painted surfaces are peeling. Raw garbage is outside the second floor windows in a common breezeway, which a mentally unstable tenant has thrown out her window. There is no emergency phone service. Drug dealing, trafficking, and unauthorized people in the building has become out of control. No security personnel have been provided by the landlord. Central City Concern has been notified numerous times by the tenants with no avail. We have gone as far as to form a tenants' rights group. Brian Lee, CCC's attorney, has come to our group meetings promising to make changes. He has witnessed the issues and still no progress. So the statement I want to make today is Central City Concern is a slumlord. The legal definition of a slumlord is an unscrupulous landlord who milks a property without concern for tenants, neighbors, or their own long-term interests. Slumlords overcharge for property in poor neighborhoods that is kept in poor repair and allowed to deteriorate. Some indicators of property run by slumlord include number of police calls and city and county code violations of the properties. The building I live in, the Butte, was constructed in 1912. The building has had no renovations. CCC has many other buildings like this, for example, the Golden West, built in 1900. Tenants are asked to sign to disclosures that state CCC has no knowledge of lead-based paint or hazardous materials in their buildings. This, I feel, is fraudulent because the buildings were required after 1992 when the Residential Lead-Based Paint Hazardous Reduction Act of 92 was implemented. So why is a company receiving federal grants monies for buildings that might be considered uninhabitable? The major concern of the tenants that I am speaking for today is the safety and security of the property and residents. We have brought this to management's attention. CCC's attorney, Brian Lee, said they do not have the funds to hire a full-time desk security person. The building I live in has 38 units. The rent generated is $415 per unit. This is $15,770 per month, or $189,240 a year. CCC pays no property taxes, so they are considered nonprofit. Also, they receive a lower rate.
Apologize for interrupting, but your 3 minutes are up. Do you want to wrap up with a summary statement?
Okay, I can wrap up with the summary statement. I'm asking the city to examine the problem, have the corporation be held accountable, show records to the public, and stop hiding behind doors.
Thank you for your testimony.
All right, thank you.
Carla, can you please read the title for Council Communications item number 387?
Request of John Blair to address council regarding activism and social justice.
Mr. Blair? You can't do that. Sorry, you can't do that. You either have to use it or it expires. Okay. But I have to treat everyone the same. Can you please read the title for item number 388?
Request of Thomas Patrick Allen to address council regarding activism and social justice.
Mr. Allen? All right. Can you please read the title for item number 389?
Request of Jason Barber to address council regarding activism and social justice.
Welcome back, Mr. Barber. Glad you're here.
Hello. Good morning. Jason, for the record, my name is Jason Barber. As many of you know, there is a proposal out there where a list of names will be going out. I believe it's about April 30th that will have a certain name on it for a certain position where I will be spending quite a bit more time here at City Hall. I don't think that would be such a bad thing. ElectJasonBarber.com. Thank you. As some of you know, last night at a candidate forum, it was dominated by questions to the incumbents on why the city council, and specifically they, continue to ignore the will of the people. A few examples are having conversations on, but not really doing anything about police reform. When I wake up on a Saturday morning in February at about 5:45 a.m. and I can't sleep that night, I go out and get the newspaper, and I'm unwrapping it, and I'm standing there in shock as I'm seeing somebody that attends Portland Community College, as I do. And I'm just going, why? Other examples are renaming streets at the expense of the city and to higher personal expenses for the citizens and businesses. This does not have anything to do with race. I would oppose a street being renamed for whoever came up with that meaning of life and everything after equals 42 or whatever. I would oppose a street being renamed if it were even for myself, to be honest. I believe that the city should provide quality, navigable street systems for everyone, not just to honor a couple of people at the expense of what the majority of people in the city want. And then finally, taking sewer money for bicycle lanes and green streets that came from very high sewer rates. When I turn on my radio and I end up agreeing with Terry Parker, Matt Davis, and Victoria Taft, the talk show host on this issue, then something was wrong with the decision. In fact, I need to thank KPAM Radio for moving Victoria Taft to 11 to 3 when I'm more likely to hear it. Oddly enough, it's a station that's owned by Robert Pamplin, who's contributed to Nick Fish's campaign. One more thing to I'd just like to point out is I do believe that that convincing TriMet that they need to look for more revenue service funding on behalf of providing it to the citizens is important. And today I leave with a final question is, why are you cutting Portland short? It's a rhetorical question. I don't need a response. Thank you.
Thanks for your testimony. Glad you're here. Carla, can you please read the item for, or the title for item 390?
Request of Lou Church to address council regarding activism and social justice.
Welcome back, Lou.
I'm Lou with PSU Progressive Student Union and Tenant Rights Project. I want to thank Randy and Jason for coming and talking today. Activist organizers on anti-poverty issues believe it's important to look at progressive victories as well as setbacks locally, nationally, and globally. Tenant Rights Project is happy to note that Monica Beamer, who's executive director of Sisters of the Road, is going to be a keynote speaker at our forum this coming Sunday night, 6 p.m., addressing a question of, is decent, habitable housing a human right? I want to thank tenant activists in the past year with Tenant Rights Project who volunteered organizing against local slumlord practices and mismanagement by Central City Unconcerned. In terms of housing, transit, police accountability, Jason referenced healthcare issues, many activists were heartened this week by nationally by President Obama's first major victory of passing healthcare reform in the face of U.S. Chamber of Commerce spending $1 million per day against reform. Providing healthcare for 30 million people is a major historical accomplishment. I would never have voted for McCain or Palin, but I'm glad I voted for Obama. However, here in Portland, as we know this week, and Jason referenced again, there were Black Bloc protests of another person, in this case a homeless person, being shot by police. In better news, in terms of some of the projects that we work on, Jason and I in particular have worked a lot for Transit Riders Union. Fred Hansen, the general manager of TriMet, resigned. This is a great day for transit riders in Portland. It's Liberation Day. Fred Hansen ignored 1,400 transit riders who petitioned to save Fairless Square when some politicians before elected to the council also argued with 10 transit riders to save Fairless Square, but would not do so once on the council. In terms of human rights in general, I do want to thank Randy and Sam for speaking up for Tibet. There are other international human rights issues, like the Coke boycott for human rights in Colombia, we'd like to see the council support. I believe if Archbishop Romero from San Salvador were alive today, he would ask the question overall, is Portland the city that works for yuppies and white folks, or does Portland belong to all of us?
Thank you, Lou. Appreciate your testimony. We will now move to the consent agenda, and I would like to pull items 402 and 403 and have them rescheduled to April 7th. Any other items to pull from the consent agenda? Carla, can you please call the vote on the consent agenda?
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. We have a 9:30 time certain regarding the comprehensive annual fiscal financial audit for the city. Carla, can you please read the title for 391?
Accept the audit of the comprehensive annual financial report of the City of Portland for fiscal year ended June 30, 2009, and the related communications and those charged with governance letter.
Welcome back, Auditor. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you this morning?
Good, thanks.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. LaVon Griffin-Vallade, Portland City Auditor. I'm here this morning to introduce the results of the annual external audit of the City of Portland's financial statements for the year ending June 30th, 2009. So I just want to say a couple of words first before we introduce the auditors. The City of Portland is required by Oregon state law to have an independent financial audit every year. Our city charter requires that this audit be conducted by an independent licensed public accountant. The charter also places responsibility for the management of this contract for the citywide audit with the elected city auditor. These annual financial audits are significant for the city, not only because they meet statutory requirements, but because they shed light on internal controls and issues around internal controls, and they shed light on the management of the city's financial systems. Moss Adams, LLP, Certified Public Accountants, are the city's contracted financial auditors, and they are required by auditing standards to communicate every year with those charged with governance. And that would be you folks. And so that's why we're here this morning. So without further ado, Drummond Kahn will now add more detail and introduce the auditors.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayor, members of the Commission. I'm Drummond Kahn, Director of Audit Services in the City Auditor's Office. Pleasure to be here on the exciting topic of our annual financial audit. Our division manages the city's contract with Moss Adams LLP for the annual financial audit. And the fact that we manage it provides an important arm's length transaction relationship, placing our independent audit function as the contract manager for our outside auditors. So instead of OMF or a central city function managing the contract, by placing it with the independent auditor, it provides another arm's length. The city financial statements are prepared by the accounting division of the Office of Management and Finance, and the financial statements for PDC are prepared by PDC accounting staff. The financial statement audit that we'll discuss today includes both the City of Portland financial statements as well as PDC financial statements as a component unit of the city. It also includes Hydro and another component unit. So OMF has distributed hard copies of the FY 2009 city financial statements to members of council. Since this document is almost 300 pages long, we've extracted the auditor's opinion in your package today and also have provided a link to the financial statements that's on the city's website. So to provide the detail, I'd like to introduce our audit partner from the firm of Moss Adams, Mr. James Lanzarotta, who will explain Moss Adams' financial audit reports for FY 2009 and will highlight the required communication to those charged with governance.
Mayor Adams, council members, it's an honor to be here to present. We haven't had an opportunity to do that before you in the past. I appreciate LaVon's efforts to get us on the agenda to talk to you. I just have a few minutes, and so I've got to be pretty brief. We're going to talk about what it is that you engaged us to do. What's the nature of the audit that we provided? And then we'll talk about our reports. What are our findings? I am hopeful that somewhere along the way that you're getting your finance management in here to talk to you about this document, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, and what it means. This is really a report card. In many respects, this is the financial and compliance report card for the city and how well management and has performed and under your leadership. And so it's very important, I think, for you to know what does this say? What are the trends here at the city financially and how well have we done in our financial performance? So anyway, I don't have time to do that. Wasn't asked to do that. My job today is just to talk about the audit. So I'll break the audit into about four phases. I think you have an understanding of external audits, you know, checking the balances and transactions that are portrayed in your financial statements to make sure that they meet a criteria. In this case, the Governmental Accounting Standards Board sets the criteria for that needs to be met within this document, how transactions are recorded in the disclosures. So we do that. I think you probably have an understanding of that. Anytime we do a financial audit, though, we also have a requirement to look at the internal controls that your staff uses that helps them to pull together accurate information and to prepare this document according to this set of standards that I mentioned. We have an obligation to inform you then if there are what we call deficiencies in those internal controls or those checks and balances that are necessary to put this document together accurately. So we'll talk about that. Anytime you receive federal grants, federal awards, as does the city, there is an additional requirement that we test your compliance with additional requirements that come with those federal grants. Quite a few strings are attached to those. And in addition to the compliance testing and reporting, again, we need to look at your internal controls that are used by management to meet those compliance requirements. And we'll talk about that. And then finally, you are an Oregon Municipal Corporation, so you're organized under statutes provided by Oregon law. And within that, there are certain financial and budget laws that we're asked to test for compliance. And so we have a report in here on your compliance. So that's kind of a third phase. A fourth phase is, even though your staff produces this document, we do have to test it and review it and provide feedback to them. So kind of a fourth element of our audit is really looking at this document and providing feedback to management to make sure that it meets all the requirements. So what did we find? And I do want to preface this. There's a lot of really good news that I'm going to bring to you today, but I'm also going to talk about some of the findings. But I want to make sure we put this in context. The first report that I want to share with you is our overall auditor's opinion on the financial statements, and that's great news. The result was, in layman's terms, you're getting a clean opinion. In technical terms, it's called unqualified, an unqualified opinion. We did not need to qualify our report because we had found that there were issues or problems with the way that this document was put together. And so that's fantastic news when you consider you've got, I don't know if I can do a quick count, but somewhere around 30 bureaus and your technical accounting staff have to bring that all together to put this document together and meet all the bells and whistles. So the great news is a clean opinion on the financial statements. Now we'll talk about some areas we had findings. Now I mentioned that one of the things we have to test is your compliance with state laws. And a big part of that is local budget law. And there were a number of over expenditures that were identified. They're in our report on page 293, but the over expenditures against your appropriated budget are noted in footnote 2B of the financial statements. I know there were approximately four funds, I think, and various line items that were over expended, anywhere from a few hundred dollars to just under $300,000. We find that that's probably the most typical kind of finding amongst governments in Oregon. It's pretty difficult when you're the size that you are, complexity, that that you'll, when you get all of the accounting done at year end, you won't find some areas where you just happen to be over budget. In terms of federal, now let's shift gears and talk about all your federal grants. So again, the city receives tens of millions of federal grant dollars, a lot of different programs. We're required to test a few of those. We don't test them all. We test the major programs. And there were some areas of noncompliance that we had identified. We have issued a separate report, and I don't know if that's been provided to you yet, but it will be shortly. It's called the Single Audit Report. And in that, you will find a number of things. In one case, with some grants that are actually administered by PDC, there's money provided to the city, and then there's funding and some pre-funding that happens between the city and PDC as they incur eligible expenditures and before drawdowns, where they had recognized some grant revenue and expenditures in advance of the period that they should have under the accounting standards. So that was one finding, and so some revenues and expenditures had to be reversed out of the books between the city and PDC, and so there was an internal control element that was not observed or working properly that allowed that to happen. So that was one of our findings. In addition, with the Home Investment Partnership Program, there were three findings. In fact, that's the one that had the incorrect grant revenue and expense timing, but there were also some reporting, some reports that were due to the federal agency that were not timely filed. And there's some subrecipient monitoring of other agencies that you pass funds through to help you meet the requirements of that grant. And there's a requirement that you monitor them for compliance, and that monitoring was not happening. And then finally, the last finding we had was with a federal transit grant, that there were some expenditures posted against that grant that were based on estimates instead of actual expenditures. And so that needed to be reversed out of the accounting and out of the schedule of federal awards. Fortunately, there was no a request against the grant, actually. You hadn't received dollars based on an estimate, but you had accrued them in the financial statements incorrectly. So those were our findings. I know there's a number of them there, but I, again, want to put it in context of the bigger picture of the city, its 30 bureaus, and the fact that we got an overall clean opinion on compliance with federal grants and a clean opinion on the financial statements themselves. So,
and this was, again, the time period covering
the fiscal year ending June 30, 2009. And the city has quite a process to gather all the information from the various bureaus and put the financials together. That happens through the month of November. We generally get the financial statements sometime in December to finish our testing and review of that. And they were actually issued on time before the December 31st due date to the state of Oregon. They were issued just a few days before the 31st this year. So,
thank you. Discussions from council?
Yeah, I had one question, Mr. Lazzarato.
Yeah,
Lazzarato.
Perfect.
In past years, audits have always noted the extreme liabilities of the Fire Police Disability and Retirement Fund. Voters made major reforms in 2006 to deal with that. So I'm just wondering, since I don't have the whole report in front of me, did you... what were your findings with respect to the Fire Police Disability Retirement Fund now?
Excellent question. And again, it kind of gets into the question of what, you know, is an external audit focused on. One of the things that it is not focused on are kind of some of the efficiencies and effectiveness of government. But when it comes to the Fire Police Disability and Retirement Fund, we did audit that fund, and we audited the separately issued financial statements for that, again, against this set of criteria about how financial statements go together. Those reports were all clean. In terms of the liability, that's where I'm hoping you're getting your finance staff coming before you to tell you what all that means. What I can tell you is that the accounting rules have resulted in about an $800 million liability reflected in your financial statements at June 30, 2009. The actuary tells you that all the benefits that have been earned by your fire and police is closer to $2 billion. So over the next several years, your financial statements will ramp up that liability in your financials from $800 million to $2 billion. You'll still be in compliance with the accounting rules, but that's a huge liability that will be added to your financial statements over time, the next several years, that's not in your financial statements today. It's not recognized on your balance sheet today. That's why some of the reforms have been coming about. It's like an unfunded liability, if you will. So police and fire have earned this benefit that hasn't been fully recognized in terms of a liability in your financial statements, and resources have not been set aside to pay for that. So future generations will pay that tab. And I think that was a big reason why the reforms were made that you're talking about. Those really aren't the purpose of the financial statement audit, which is to make sure the statements meet the set of criteria established by Governmental Accounting Standards Board. But those are things I hope you're getting from your finance management.
So Commissioner Salzman led efforts to get the FPD&R pension funds on a track for full funding. And it'd be great if we could get a snapshot of how we're doing on that from OMF. If what is it, a 20-year timeline? Yeah, 20-year timeline.
So every other year we do a financial condition report, and I believe that we will be report. I mean, that's the kind of thing that we would be reporting on in that. Okay. As well. And that's coming up this next year.
Yeah, it's a huge change from totally unfunded to on track to being fully funded. So,
Mayor, can I yield?
I just wanted to clarify. When you talk about a clean opinion and a qualified opinion, that opinion is that we're doing well.
Correct. So clearly the financial policies, the internal controls that are utilized, the experience and education of the folks within your technical accounting, the Office of Management and Finance that put this together, they're able to do that accurately and within the requirements of the Governmental Accounting Standards Board and all the required disclosures. So that's phenomenal. You can't get any better than that in terms of
Commissioner Fish.
That overall opinion.
Well, Mr. Lazzarotta.
Yeah.
And to the auditor, I want to thank you for an excellent work product, and I also want to thank you for the level of engagement with the Portland Housing Bureau. The reports I got were that the meetings they held were very productive. As you know, we've reorganized the Bureau. We've combined two separate units from PDC and the former Housing Bureau, and we've put in place a new management team. We're pleased at PHB that you have determined that all of our federal funds are adequately accounted for, but I'm concerned about the need to tighten our internal controls. And to the extent you have identified some practices that, frankly, even predated my service on the council that we need to get better on, we will do so. But the collaborative way that you work with my management team to resolve those issues, I just want to call out in front of the auditor. It's been hugely productive. And again, while there's no suggestion that any federal funds have been misplaced or not properly spent, we take very seriously our obligation to have good internal controls, to fill out all the paperwork, no matter how much they throw at us from HUD. And
music to my ears.
And we have sent the message down the ranks, including to the new unit that's joined us formally from PDC. That we take this very seriously. So we appreciate the way that you've gone about your work.
Thank you.
And to the extent there are some technical issues you've identified at PHB, they are being addressed.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I'll entertain a motion to accept the report.
So moved.
We have a request for testimony.
Yeah, I've got to do the
second.
Who's requested testify?
David Regan.
Mr. Regan, thank you. All right, Mr. Regan, come on up. Welcome back. Your testimony needs to Stay with this audit report.
My name is David Regan. I just would like to ask the city auditor if there were, in fact, transparency problems in trying to figure out this whole shuffle with the Housing Bureau reorganization and PDC.
Mr. Regan, this is an opportunity for you can sit down.
Okay.
This is an opportunity for testimony, so we're listening.
Thank you.
Anybody else wish to testify? All right, Carla, would you please call the vote?
Fritz.
Well, thank you to Auditor Lavon Griffin-Vallade and Drummond Card in Audit Services, and Tomas Adams, our independent outside look at how the city is doing. As what I just heard you say is it can't get any better than that in terms of the unqualified opinion that we are, in fact, watching the books carefully and doing the reporting that we need to. I particularly appreciate some of the details that you called out. There's always room for improvement, and I'm happy to hear my colleagues, Commissioner Saltzman, looking into the FPDNR and Commissioner Fish working on housing issues, that we do take seriously your reports and make sure that we attend to the details. Aye.
Fish.
Thank you again for the collaborative approach to getting it right and for an outstanding job. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, thank you for this report. It is indeed comforting, as you said in your remarks, of we may have 30 offices and bureaus. It's comforting to know that we're all operating within sound financial principles and keeping a good, careful eye on the bottom line. So thank you. Aye.
Adams.
Aye. So approved. Can you please read the title for second reading, item number 415?
Create new categories of residential waste and recycling collection services and establish areas within Portland where new categories of services will be made initially available.
Please call the vote.
Fritz.
Thank you to Mayor Adams and the staff of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability for spearheading this innovative methods to look to decrease our contributions to the solid waste stream, and also to the Portland Utility Review Board Solid Waste Subcommittee that supports spending the $450,000 for this pilot program. It can be a very significant improvement for citizens, but I'm glad that we're doing a pilot first so that we make sure before we implement it citywide. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I'm excited by this pilot project, and I hope it will, as in our past efforts, continue to boost our recycling rate ever higher and to begin to address the tremendous amount of food waste in our waste stream and getting it into a productive compost product rather than sitting in a landfill and creating greenhouse gas emissions. Aye.
Adams.
Thank you, Megan. Thank you, Bruce, the entire team. Aye. So approved. We have a few more on the same one more on the same topic. Can you please read the title for second reading, item number 416?
Revise residential solid waste and recycling collection rates and charges to address new collection services within Portland effective May 3rd, 2010.
Can you please call the vote?
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. So approved. Congratulations. Can you please read the title for second reading, item number 417?
Extend contract with Calais Parking Systems USA, Inc., and increase authority to purchase additional parking pay stations, support services, and product enhancements.
Can you please call the vote?
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 417 is approved. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance, item number 418, 419,
Ratify a letter of agreement between the City of Portland Police Commanding Officers Association to modify the party's 2007-2010 collective bargaining agreement to revise the amount members may contribute to the PPA Volunteer Employee Beneficiary Association Trust. 419, ratify a letter of agreement between the City of Portland between the City and the Portland Police Association to modify the party's 2007-2010 collective bargaining agreement to revise the amount members may contribute to the PPA Voluntary Employees Beneficiary Association. 420, ratify a letter of agreement between the City of Portland Police and the Portland Police Association to authorize the inclusion of time worked for Multnomah County Sheriff's Office for longevity computation.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Adams. Council. My name is Steve Herron, Labor Relations Manager for the City of Portland. The first two items, the PPA VBA and PPCOA VBA items, are to address a compliance with IRS rules issue. PPA came to us and said that the rate, the contribution rate being pegged to an individual's pay rate violated IRS regs because it resulted in disparate contributions, and at that time asked if the city had an objection to revising the VBA language to peg it to a amount certain. And they proposed, where it had been 1% of the individual's rate, they proposed that it be 2% of top step officer. And they just needed to peg it to a specific number as opposed to having it varied based on the individual's pay rate. By and large, because this is the employee contribution to the VBA, the city doesn't have a dog in the fight other than compliance. And after the city attorney's review and their agreement that, in fact, the revision would improve compliance, we indicated that we would be happy to do that. And so because both PPA and PPCOA VBAs are in the PPA VBA trust.
That's alphabet soup.
Why don't you explain VBA real quick?
I'm not certain that I personally understand it thoroughly. What it is it's a
I appreciate the honesty. Of
it's a contribution account. The funds of which go towards purchase of health insurance benefits after retirement. So, within the two CBAs presently, the employee unit members, union unit members, are allowed to make a contribution, and that money goes into a fund that they, after retirement, then can purchase health insurance benefits with. These two measures are solely designed to peg the contribution amount to a fixed amount and create uniformity within the PPA unit of contribution amount per individual and uniformity within the PPCOA unit of contribution per individual.
So you do very diligent work, and I'm sure that the Bureau of Human Resources and the city attorneys and the unions have all worked on this. The question that I had, though, is on my paycheck, the Medicare amount is dependent on how much you earn up to a certain cap. So how is this different?
My understanding is that, and again, I defer to the city attorney's office for the legal analysis of compliance. PPA had indicated that their advisor had indicated that having the contribution amount be variable based on the individual's pay violated IRS rules, specifically as they relate to VBA contributions. And when we presented that to the city attorney's office, they asked for documentation from PPA. PPA, in fact, provided that documentation, which we provided to the city attorney's office, and received an opinion that, in fact, pegging it to an amount certain that wasn't dependent was compliant with the rules, contribution rules, as to VBAs.
And do the total contributions to the benefit stay the same?
The total contributions per individual.
So this is cost neutral to the city.
Cost neutral to the city. I apologize, I misunderstood the question at first.
It's a complicated issue, and I appreciate you looking
at it. Yeah, it's cost neutral to the city. This is entirely employee contribution portion.
All right, unless there's additional council discussion. Is anyone here wish to testify on any of these three matters? Carly, can you call the vote starting with 318?
We're doing three or two?
We're doing three.
Because we didn't get the report on this.
Oh, we'll do the first two and then you'll do the last one.
Okay.
Thank you.
Fritz. Thank you. I'm very glad that we have staff who look into all these details. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Well, I didn't want the session to end without noticing that Commissioner Fish is wearing a very nice sweater vest today. And this marks the first time in the tenure of this council where someone has worn just a sweater. So congratulations. Aye.
Thank you, Mayor. I think.
Can you call the vote for 419?
Fritz?
That's aye. Right.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 419 is approved, 420.
Fritz.
I think we should get it.
No, 20 seconds or a few seconds on what this
you bet. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Council. My name is Steve Herron, Labor Relations Manager for the City of Portland. This item 420 is an adjustment to a recruitment and benefits for a lateral recruitment that happened a couple of years ago. There was a period of time when Multnomah County Sheriff's Office was doing layoff of deputies. Portland Police Bureau had a staffing need, and the decision was made to try to recruit some of the deputies that were going to be laid off. That would be a win-win in the sense that we would be keeping an asset in law enforcement in Portland that already had a knowledge base that was useful to Portland. At that time, council both approved the recruitment, and we came in and requested that the probationary period be adjusted for those folks, and council approved that. Shortly thereafter, the Bureau realized that an element of the recruitment had been representation that longevity would take into account the period of time with which the individual computation of longevity pay would take into account the period of time the person was employed by Multnomah County Sheriff's Office. And we realized that we needed to come to council. Unfortunately, because of the moratorium that was in place for implementation of SAP, we weren't able to bring that forward sooner. So we're bringing that forward now. What this would do is it would authorize consideration of the period of employment with Multnomah County Sheriff's Office solely for the purposes of computing longevity pay for those particular officers.
Questions?
I have the numbers for the first 5 years. Does this continue to accrue?
That's correct. The fiscal impact statement practice, as I understand, is going to be 5 years out, but this would be a continuing cost for these individuals throughout the period of their career.
But your understanding was that the individuals were promised this on hire and that the council at that time, that was the understanding?
That is correct.
Thank you.
Other discussion? Is there anyone wishes to testify in 420? Carla, can you please call the vote?
Fritz.
It's important for government to keep our promises. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 420 is approved, and we are adjourned.
Thank you.
I think that's a record.
Close, Sam. Yeah.
It's close. I want to hear about that time Commissioner Fritz got us out of here. 5 minutes or something. The famous 5 minutes.
That's right. That'll